Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I apologize for some of the replays, but actually those replays were perfectly timed, and I needed them. So the last two shows is shows that we did actually earlier this year. That's why we were referring to the late election. But the focus on those shows was on the cod fishery bounties. That was an argument between Livingston and Madison in Congress in 1792. And what I'm trying to do, and I tell you I'm laying a foundation, but what I'm really laying in this foundation is a full timeline, so you have a good macro of how everything kind of played out. And in so doing, I can actually give you a better perspective as to why certain things never happened. Why was it that Madison never criticized the court for some of the things that were stated as opinions in the rulings that Madison never saw as a threat? Because when you look at the ruling in the 8 hallmark cases that actually created unconstitutional footings that the globalists, the big government politicians built upon, were 8 rulings, and as a matter of fact, I'll try to pull those up. And I'll do that probably by the next break, because it just dawned on me. I think you really want to understand what these cases are. One of them is Marilyn v. McCullough and Marbury v. Madison. So the reason why Madison never called out and pointed his finger of judgment at John Marshall was because John Marshall's opinions had no standing. There's nowhere in the Constitution that a judge can even make an opinion. Bottom line, they rule. It's either legal or it's illegal. It's in the Constitution or it's not in the Constitution. And the rulings that John Marshall made were what we would say sound. He was correct that Maryland could not tax the federal government. However, in his opinions, he created text that actually became divisive, where people started leaning on the opinions of the court as if they were writing clarity and definitions outside the context of the constitutional debates. Whether the states accept it or not, this is how we determine, you know, that there's emanations from penumbras, that, you know, people have a right to privacy and women can have abortions. No, none of the opinions can have any legal standing. They may be insightful, but they have no business taking legal standing. And this, my friends, is the real problem. Because when you look at how we have grown from a defined constitution to an interpreted constitution, now they don't need to go by the terms and definitions. They need to rub the ball and you know, hold it up to the light and make it shiny. And I'm insulting every justice out there, and I don't care. Because bottom line, until the day that they actually read through the ratification debates and start citing how the Constitution was defined at the time, because I'm telling you, there are plenty of cases where the courts, a plethora, an abundance of cases, where the courts should have said, we have no jurisdiction. Oh, what fun is that? What do you do that year if you don't have any cases because there's no jurisdiction? Well, I guess you travel around and see the sights. It doesn't change your pay, but it sure makes you feel good that you can persuade and influence the direction of the country, boy, that makes you feel kind of powerful, doesn't it? And they were never, never given that power. The states have all the power to determine what is constitutional. That's why it requires 3/4 of the states to determine any type of change to the Constitution. And nothing can change the Constitution without 3/4 of the states, not even the Supreme Court or the President or Congress. So, anyway, so Madison, like in my previous episodes that we just played, I know I said, you know, I wish Madison would have just said this, but Madison didn't see. He didn't have foresight, right? Hindsight's 20/20. And I don't mean 2020, the year 2020. I mean, you know, it's perfect vision. You can, oh, well, I see what happened, and that's a problem. So what we do have to do is we have to kind of look at how Madison was addressing the different arguments. And I think the most important takeaway, clearly the most important takeaway, was the consistency. There may have been a deviation, a minor deviation. I've been told by a judge, I've not seen it, but I've been told by, not a judge, a professor, that Madison had his deviating moments. And, you know, whether he did something, I think that really had more to do in his early political careers, like the Assumption Act, where he fought against it and he no longer led the fight against it. But he still voted against it. And he still held to his ground. It's just that he was asked by his friend, Thomas Jefferson, to, you know, allow the political compromise to move forward so that Virginia, Jefferson, and other land speculators might be able to make some money. Unfortunately, Jefferson was never able to make the money off of those land deals, and it ended up making him destitute. Unfortunately, see, that's what happens. It takes time for land investments to very rarely do you have a solid investment where that, I mean, you do have fluctuating markets where you get these peaks, especially today, but it takes time to develop wealth in land. And so, especially when you've got bulk land, I mean, acres and acres and acres of just raw land. I live in an area where I know people that are land rich because they inherited a lot of land from their, you know, great-great-grandparents. And what they've been doing has been selling off little parcels here and there and creating developments, and boom. And that's where the term land rich came from. At least, I guess so. That's how I put it in context. But anyway, what we're going to do is, because we're kind of going through this timeline. We've covered, you know, the constitutional debates, the ratification debates. Actually, we didn't get into the ratification debates per se. We're not getting into the details of all those things. That's what we'll get into last. And we should probably be hitting those in January after we go through setting effective goals and so forth. It ought to be early January. But what we want you to do is we want to go through these other things that they actually did cover after the ratification debates. Because why? We just went through the ratification debates in, what, August, I think, was the last day, or maybe in September. And so as we left the ratification debates, now we kind of walk the timeline again, and we go through the other documents in this timeline. And then we'll go right back to the ratification debates. And so it may be cyclic, but it's not necessarily duplicative where I have to play. And unfortunately, the reason I did play the other two shows on the cod fishery bounties is because I got hit. I've mentioned I've been fighting pneumonia. And I got hit hard with something that I couldn't do Friday's show, and yesterday's show would have been tough too. And I've got to see a doctor because I don't know what the heck is going on. But if there's ever been a time I've been sick this long, I can't recall. It's just been one little thing. And no, it's not the coronavirus. These are other little things. I told my my daughter, I was telling her, these are growing pains. As you get older, certain things start happening, and all of a sudden, boom, you know. And fortunately, it's not diabetes. Fortunately, it's not something like that. But, you know, there are other things that, you know, as you get older, you get hit with that, you know. And it, fortunately, we don't suspect cancer or anything like that. So don't worry. It's just we got to figure out what's going on. Did I really get hit with another flu after pneumonia? Because my immune system's been compromised. But I will tell you this, over the weekend, I passed a stone, a kidney stone. And so it was like a quadfectro, you know, whammo. Not necessarily something that you ever want to have to deal with, especially when you're trying to record a show. The last thing you wanted to hear me do is cry from pain. But I will say this, that when I read the words, as a matter of fact, when I was listening to the show and hearing Madison's words on, you know, the codfisher bounties and how he was spelling it out, it almost brings tears to my eyes to, you know, his passion and how he was trying to convey, be very, very concerned with the direction and construction that you were trying to take this constitution, because there are consequences. I mean, it was just like, wow. Anywho, when we come back, we will move forward. I haven't even gone through the obligatory, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back with even more up-to-date info.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Well, so you can tell I was getting a little slow getting off and on to that break. So it has happened. I bled in. Forgive me. Now, let me kind of cover real quick the pragmatic look at the elections. I believe there have been all sorts of things that should have been done that didn't get done. And I know that the states, you know, have the controls over, but the Federal Election Commission, they actually control federal elections, and they have the ability to actually swing in and audit or step in because they, but see, here's the problem. Because it's political, Democrat, Republican, then there is this apprehension because people look at it as a political action, not a, you know, an honest action of stepping in. And so, and I actually got this from Bob Schultz when we were doing petitions against these Democratic governors who were, you know, taking your tyranny. Well, we don't want to be perceived as political. But why the heck not? They are political. They're acting as political actors. They're not supporting the Constitution. And so it's frustrating when you have to fight that kind of paradigm. That paradigm is absolutely wrong. To think that, oh, we can't have anything look like politics. I tell people, you need to read Aristotle's book, Politics, because Aristotle spells it out. There are politics in everything. And until you accept the fact that everything is political, then you can't say that, oh, we can't make this political. Well, of course it's political. I mean, come on. Even in marriage with husbands and wives, it's political. There are politics in marriage. This is why, you know, marriage is filled with a series of compromises, of coming together and taking two separate and disparate energies and making them one. And boy, I'm telling you, when you get to that point in your marriage where you and your husband or your husband or you and your wife are in that state of thinking the same, doing the same, you know, being supportive when necessary, you know, taking the lead when necessary and so forth. I mean, having that symbiotic synergy, it is just awesome. When you see couples like that, it is just awesome. The problem is that you always, it's not something that just is guaranteed. You have to work it. It requires constant vigilance, just like liberty. So anyway, as we kind of look pragmatically at the election, what I really see is that we're being led into a red-blue sea of evil contention. And just bear me out with this. I believe that contention is the tool of Satan. I believe that the art of analysis, seeking the truth, and finding the truth and being truthful is Christ-like. That, you know, seeking, you know, intelligence, the truth, the light is Christ-like. And so I believe that compromise is not Christ-like. I don't think there's any compromise in adultery. I think that there may be forgiveness. I think there may be repentance, but I don't think there's compromise. Oh, okay, you can do that. Well, but you know, there was a case with Sarah and Abraham where she realized that he needed to have a son, and she had her concubine. I forget her. Hagarth or something like that. Anyway, long story short, I think there sometimes is those types of compromises because, you know, the sacrifices and things that, you know, husbands and wives go through. And sometimes there are big mistakes. Absolutely, there are big mistakes. When somebody is aching from, you know, something that they're lacking or what have you. And it was sad. But anywho, we learn our lessons, right? But there is no real compromise in Christ's philosophy or the doctrine of Christianity. None. There's no compromise. So with that, I mean, it's either right or it's not. And but also it cannot be compelled. So you can't force people to live a certain way. And that's where Christianity has had it wrong for 2,000 years. They've been living by the Mosaic Law. Most Christian faiths live by the Mosaic Law by enforcing and trying to create theocracies. I see it all the time throughout these little vestiges of, you know, what we call Christian boroughs or what have you, where, you know, a large flock or group of people live in an area and they live by these rules that dictate the law of the land. Now, in the old days, and this is what I was mentioning to some leaders that are working with Republic Review, that when you look at a true Christian, when they're out, you know, doing something, they never believe in compulsion. They don't believe you force somebody to behave, act, or live a certain way. So when you see people that are actually saying, well, you gotta do this, you have to, you know, like the Puritan blue laws, making laws because we know man is susceptible, and you know what? That's okay for a society in some respects, especially if they are harmful. You've got to understand that that's how we kind of grew up. But I think, you know, what happens is that we start throwing in mercy, and next thing you know, I mean, it becomes the devil's playground. When they stopped selling liquor on Sundays, just to make sure that people were trying to be, you know, at least you couldn't be drunk, or didn't mean you couldn't be drunk, you just couldn't go buy your booze, you couldn't break the Sabbath, and those types of things. Well, see, you can't tell me that we can't have a theocracy. We can. What we have to do is we have to pray for, you know, people to be obedient, but we can't make laws, or, well, we can. But when we do, I think we overstep those bounds. And that's when Satan gets really good at pointing at these Puritans and saying, look at what they're doing. They're taking away a good time. And this is how your children are being programmed in the education system. When they hear you and then they hear their teacher tell them, is it your parents that don't want you to go out and have sex with girls or just explore and enjoy sex? You should be experiencing at this point in time in your life all types of sex, all types of things. This is your life. Your parents are trying to ruin your good time. And they may not say those words per se, but those are the underlying messages that your children are hearing. Why is it, do you think, that by the time a child is somewhere between 9 and 16, you know, they all of a sudden start hating their parents? Well, do you think that their parents really crossed the line? 9 times out of 10, no. Maybe once in a while, maybe so. But 9 times out of 10, no. It had more to do with the messaging that these kids were getting at school. And this is why they're becoming more and more brazen with what they're telling your children. And this is why I tell you that we have an opportunity with messaging, with the Constitution, and getting this, you know, messaging to the kids, so that the kids can actually hear the truth and be able to tell their teachers and their parents that they're both wrong. How beautiful would that be? Because it's innate within the child to want to be right and to prove to their parents that they know what is right more than their parents do, as well as their educators. I mean, surely you know somebody like myself that in a class would always argue with the teacher on points and principles. That was me. I was always arguing because I never wanted to accept anything that these folks were trying to teach. And I'll tell you what, when they're really good with their messaging, they are very good. What I'd like to see, before I lose time here, let me talk about this election. What I would like to see on the pragmatism is I would like to see every state attorney general in a red state suing the United States Federal Election Commission based on fraud and bringing up the charges that the states that have allowed illegal aliens access to identification and so forth, and now that they, over the past few decades, have propagated throughout the United States, we have millions of illegal aliens that are voting in our system. And that in itself is grounds to completely challenge this. We have political combatants that are out pursuing an overthrow of our country. And I'm here to tell you that every attorney general in every state needs to be walking to D.C. to sue the Federal Election Commission for, and actually Congress, because Congress had the responsibility of protecting us from an invasion. I want to talk a little bit more about this, but we do need to get ready to move into the resolutions. I won't be doing it today, but we will be right back after these two promos. Hang on, we'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so what we want to do is kind of talk about what I think really needs to be happening. And like I said, the state not the state legislators. I believe that the state legislators should be approaching their governors and saying, we need to put the attorney general on lawsuits against this election. They have to start taking a stand. We cannot accept a stolen election. We cannot accept voter fraud and election fraud. The red states cannot allow the blue states and these battleground states to be overcome by fraud. So anyway, moving this ball down the road, there are things that are happening. And as I started to say, I see that what we have unfolding in front of us, really kind of like a red and green, not green, red and blue forces of evil, where we are being caught in this contention. Now just remember, the spirit of contention is what? Typically the spirit of contention is the adversary, the Satan. I mean, Satan wants us to be contentious. He wants to divide us. He wants us to you know, not unite on the truths. He wants us to, you know, nitpick on little things. And so the spirit of contention is the red and blue war. It's about their agenda and our agenda. I believe the focus of the change we need to invoke is the spirit of unity, and that unity needs to be on the color of parchment. And so I said this when I was in Arizona to the Constitution Party. I think it's time we start turning states parchment instead of red or blue. And I believe the Constitution Party is in the position to be able to do, you know, things that they don't even have a clue that they can do. It's all about taking the right stand and being on the high road. Because when it comes to politics, I think most Americans want to be on the high road when it comes to their politics. At least I believe the older generation, and I even think that's why I was saying the younger generation, when they see the truth and when they actually know what is true, they're going to say, wow, I mean, here we go. There are those kids that are hardwired, programmed into overthrowing because they truly believe in communism because they've never been taught to challenge. But I truly believe that most of those kids deep down want to be right. And so if you get them into the position of, are you sure you're right? Are you sure you are in the right position? And in so doing, you will probably find that these kids will actually turn that corner and go, wow, this is right. This is the truth, and this is the position we need to be. So anyway, I honestly believe that we could actually start seeing the Constitution Party becoming really truly relevant. Yeah, a third party could actually become very relevant. I think the majority of the voters today are independent voters. And I believe independent voters, those are the people that, you know, unfortunately think, oh, well, there's not enough compromise, that, they're both bad. Well, actually, they're right and they're wrong, because they're right that they're bad because of their agendas and because they're trying to compromise. And when you realize how they work together, the red and the blue, the red is always the one that gives way to the blue. And so the compromise has never swung us in a direction that takes us away from, you know, the failed policies. Have you ever seen a policy of prayer in school ending? Or I should say, the banishment on prayer in school. I mean, we've already proven that taking church and religion and Bible and the morals out of the school system has basically debased our society. Why haven't we reversed that? Oh, well, because we can't admit we're wrong. And so we just keep on invoking more and more bad policies. Really? Is that what smart people do? Is that an enlightened society? No. So anyway, I truly believe that the efforts of moving states from red to blue or blue to red really need to be changed in moving states to parchment. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the states turning to the color parchment. I want parchment to be the new color, the new word in politics coming up in these next 2 years. One of the things that I honestly believe we really need to do, and I'm focused on trying to actually make this happen in a few states, and I need your help. I need your help to do this. I need you to basically champion and challenge your state legislators to have me come and present to them the terms and definitions of the Constitution that they should have had access to years ago. And what I will do is I will literally bring physical copies and electronic copies of the ratification debates to your state legislators. Putting these things in their hands helps clarify the terms and definitions of the Constitution. And so as they start understanding how these great men defined this Constitution, and they realize that what we've been told and what the federal government's been getting away with is so out of bounds and so unconstitutional, we will actually, you know, people talk about this woke generation. I don't get that. I don't understand this awakening, what that means, but I do believe this is the awakening. I do believe that this is the beginning of the awakening, when all of a sudden we throw off the facade of, you know, this house of cards and actually start dealing with the real powers, roles, responsibilities of this general government and getting them into compliance to the Constitution. I think that most people will be in awe over that, over the fact that the federal government, wow, look at what more we can do with the federal government not spending money in manipulating social behavior. Look at what we can do without the federal government controlling our, you know, how much money we're going to be able to spend on energy, because they want to constrain and restrict it to ensure that we have a good level of price fixing so everybody makes their fair share of profit. If you understand what the heck's been going on, the strategies that the federal government has been following has not been following a strategy that is best for we, the states, and our republic. It's one of the reasons why Trump has actually made some good successes in challenging most of the trade deals that we have. But he hasn't given us, I've told you, what we need is free trade deals. And what we need are policies to go after all of the bad players, such as China. We should not be doing free trade deals with China. And as a matter of fact, we need to be going after every state, every country that is oppressive in nature. We should never be helping and assisting the enslavement of people in labor, in bondage, in government bondage, basically in communism. We have to have policies that actually support liberty, and we should be calling out those states that are subject to these tyrannical tyrants, China and Hong Kong, China and Taiwan, calling out these states, as I keep on saying, they need to vote to whether they want to be a state. Let these people choose for themselves whether they be a state of China or whether they become a part of the United States. I know this really shakes people. They go, oh, this is trouble. No, it's not. It is not trouble, because if Hong Kong voted next year and they successfully voted to become a state, the first thing that would happen is they'd become a territory. And that territory of China would allow us to come in and help them start transitioning themselves from a satellite state of China, and moving them and getting them prepared in language, in finance, in all these other things to becoming a state of the United States. And in so doing that, it would put China on its heels. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was up to the people of Taiwan, China, Crimea, and all of these other places that have been harassed by communist states and autocratic government or military actions and those types of things, and I am here to tell you that you will find that those people would much rather have liberty than to be living under the military rule of and heavy-handed tactics of these draconian governments. So with that, we will be right back. We'll go into our last segment. I still have a lot to cover, but anyway, so we will try to move forward through the rest of these, And oh, actually, there's one more thing I completely forgot, and we'll get to that as soon as we get back. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so I need to do a follow-up with Orlean before I forget that we need to get that pamphlet that supposedly she's had published last week out so that you can start help spreading the word about what is coming in this virus that they're trying to sell or ram down our throats. I also have not mentioned that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. One of the things that I'm hoping to do, and this is where I've started to basically say, this is where I need your help. I need you to help talk to your state legislators, help us create bridges so that we can come and speak to them and provide them with the physical copies of the ratification debates as well as electronic copies. Once these states are armed with the terms and definitions, I'm telling you, the state legislators can no longer be bamboozled by court judges to say, oh, well, you know, we don't do things that way. And they're going to start realizing how the court system has been co-opted by these things called admiralty courts and by the corporations and so forth. They're no longer serving common law justice as they should be in our legal process. So there's a huge awakening that our representatives need to come to. And this is why I'm hoping to be able to start speaking to state legislators this year. And I hope to be in South Dakota. I hope to be in Wyoming. I hope to be in Montana. I hope to be in maybe Oklahoma. I need your help. If you can start creating those bridges and in befriending friends and leaders, this is how you do it. You start reaching out to state legislators who like to be, you know, they consider themselves champions of the Constitution. They love being right. They want to be the guy doing the right thing or gal. they want to be that person leading. You got to make sure that they're not somebody, because I can tell you, we had one. Matt Shea was a self-serving. I mean, he was out there supporting, but I believe as I look at everything he did, he stepped down. I mean, he should never step down. And the reason he stepped down is because I don't think he was in a self-service point. It was another form of self-service. I don't hate the guy, but I was supporting the guy, and I wanted him to fight. He should have fought. He should have fought to keep his position and get reelected, or even moving up the chain. He was a great champion. At least that was the perception. But if maybe he wasn't trying to be a champion, he was only using it to be a lightning rod for those people that have the affinity to those things, then you have to start questioning their motives. But those people who really want to do the right thing, and they're willing to learn, and they're willing to go, oh my goodness, I never understood this. The guys that know it all and say, no, this is what we got to do. Now, you got to go, you got to question whether they really know what they're talking about or not. But the fact is, you can easily start befriending people, start giving them information, and you can quickly discern whether they're getting it and, drinking it in, bringing it on board and going, wow, this is great. What more do you got? Wow, this is awesome. What more do you got? I can't tell you how many times, like Heather Scott of Idaho, supposedly this great conservative, same thing with Chad Christensen, huge Second Amendment rights champion, wears his gun on his hip, going everywhere. Well, that's the only part of the Constitution that I know he supports. I know he wants to do more. I know these people want to do more. But they have to get off of their high horses. They have to learn. They have to admit. And actually, Heather Scott, to her credit, she's clearly stated she doesn't know much about the Constitution. Well, okay, then let's fix that. This isn't rocket science. There's no reason why you can't understand this. And there's no reason why you can't be demanding the federal government to comply to the Constitution. This is my constant and consistent message on demanding full compliance of the Constitution is what is basically washing away my critics' arguments against me. Oh, he wants an Article 5 convention. You get no sense of that from me, and it just is not there. And so anybody that keeps on saying, well, we don't trust this guy because that's what he wants. Well, there's zero data in all of my shows that ever talk about this. And this is why I point these things out. When Madison and Jefferson acted out to fix the constitutional crisis they were facing, they didn't request an Article 5 convention to amend the Constitution. They sought the states to enforce the Constitution, exactly what we are doing. That's what this is all about. So, as we move forward, I hope to be able to deliver both the digital and hard copy to your state legislators. We don't have a lot of time, and I believe we need to get to 13 states. Folks, we need 13 states to take a hard stand on the Constitution to say, sorry, federal government, you can't do this, and to start using their attorney generals and every power within their political power to going after the federal government and all of the things that it's doing and actually beginning republic review. In so doing, with 13 states, the message is clear that the federal government, even if they wanted to constitutionally do some form of communism and or expand further unconstitutional government, they need 38 states to move forward. Let's not give them 38. Let's get 13 and let's grow that 13 to 27. As we grow to 27 states, we will have enough control over Congress to actually drag every single one of those communists out of Congress. And in the process, we will actually revamp Congress based on the Constitution, because we're out to actually support our first right in displacing your representative so that you actually have a reasonable representative. As we read it yesterday, the reason why they wanted only 30,000 people to be represented in the federal government is because the objects that they have responsibility of are very minute. They don't need to have that much representation. But in states, look at some of these smaller, earlier states, Connecticut or what have you. Look at how many representatives are in their Congress, because they are huge in comparison. Well, maybe not now, because the numbers have conflated quite a bit, or I should say the population has grown. But, I mean, you're blown away by some of these small states that have like 500 legislators. And I think that they're actually free. Nobody gets paid to be a legislator in those states. I don't know. I just know that the early states, the first 13 states, really went through a lot in creating their own representation. And they knew what they were doing at that time because they had just created this constitutional government and understood the essence of a Republican form of government. So folks, where do we need to go? We need to be marching forward. We need to even start having protests demanding we stop these steals. And where you have these protests should be at your state capitol and at your media outlets. Don't go downtown and pilfer the Nike stores. That's not a protest. If you want to get away with what they're legalizing as a protest, shut down the media. Go block their entranceway so that their anchors can't get in for the day. What's going on in Seattle, or what's going on here? We're not getting our superstar anchor that's telling us what's going on in the morning. Shut them down. Keep them from allowing people to drive in or access the building. You shut them down like that, and then people will go, why the heck are you doing this? And you call them out because they're covering up the greatest steal in American politics, and we need to stop it, and we want to call them out for this. We want to call them out for them being a propaganda mill. And actually, you need to be chanting, no more freedom of the press in this state. No more freedom of the press in the state of Washington. We want standards. We want, we want accountability. We no longer want to let them just become the parrot for propaganda and for communism. Because, folks, that's what you're getting. Anyway, when we get back tomorrow, we'll be getting ready to dive into the Kentucky resolutions, the Virginia resolutions, and so forth. I still don't have my strength there, so we'll probably be playing reruns or previous shows that cover these things. But just remember, what we're doing is we're creating this bedrock, this foundation, and providing you the overview of the timeline of what was going on and how it happened as we moved forward. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.